Catholic Radio in Metro Detroit. This is 990 WDEO, Ypsilanti, Detroit, or on the internet at WDEO.net.
Welcome to Epiphany with communications evangelist Vanessa Denha-Garmo, encouraging listeners to connect, collaborate, and communicate with the faith community. Life is a journey, and along the way, we have those epiphany moments to bring us closer to Christ. Vanessa is engaging the community on a variety of topics from a Catholic perspective. She is focusing on different Catholic rites and different ethnic cultures within the Catholic community. Here's your host, Vanessa Denha-Garmo.
Good Monday afternoon, all. It's a beautiful afternoon here in Metro Detroit. So happy to be with all of you. It is October 12th. I want to wish my sister Sandra a very happy birthday. Special blessings to her. She actually lost her youngest child this year, earlier this year, actually during COVID. Michael passed away in March, my nephew. Please keep her in your prayers. It's been very tough for her as she celebrates, I'm sure, thinking about Michael today on her birthday. Great show lineup today. I want to, thank Melissa and Dan for all the great work they do, always bringing great guests with us. Mary Lou Greenwood Snyder is going to be joining us. She wrote a book, a poet. She's a poet, Touched by God, original poems by her, and we're going to talk with her about what inspired that came out of COVID. And then joining us again this week, Vicky Figueroa is joining us, a cultural ministries and manager and coordinator for Black Catholic Ministry, Evangelization and Missionary Discipleship. She's joining us today to talk with us about a discussion happening this evening at 7 p.m. between Archbishop Alan Vigneron and Dr. Ike McKinnon. He's a former police chief in Detroit. Teresa Tomeo actually had a great interview with him this morning. You can get it on the AveMariaRadio.net archives page. And we're talking about responding to the sin of racism. So Vicki's going to be joining us today to talk about that discussion. And if you want to hear the interview with Dr. Ike McKinnon with Teresa Tomeo, we both go back years with him. She was a street reporter, as you guys know. I was a street reporter. We both at various times interviewed Dr. Ike McKinnon when he was the Detroit police chief. Just a great guy, a wonderful man of faith. Great interview with Teresa Tomeo and Al Cresta last week. So you can listen to either one of those. He had a new book out that Al Cresta interviewed him on. So you could listen to both of those interviews if you missed them by going to AveMariaRadio.net to our archive, our podcast section. And then you can go to the AOD Facebook page. I put this on my Facebook page, Communications Evangelist Coach Vanessa Denha-Garmo, a link to the AOD page where you can listen to the discussion on racism today, the sin of racism. It's happening at 7 o'clock tonight. And then Jeanette Barbicane and Tisa Fleming will be joining us today. We'll be talking about spiritual direction and what is that. Both are certified spiritual directors, and I have a spiritual director. I highly recommend it if you don't have one. Look for spiritual direction, and we'll talk with them about spiritual direction this afternoon here on Epiphany. So it's a great show lineup today. I did my rosary with our Ave Maria Radio Ave Maria Radio app. There is a prayer section in the app. If you don't have the app, I highly recommend you download it. I downloaded it on my mom's phone the other day so she can listen to me every day. But I do my daily rosary now with Father John Ricardo, and I highly recommend you do that as well. I've been doing the rosary every day leading up to Election Day and praying for our country. And praying for Amy Coney Barrett today, hearing starting today. And I had a friend of mine already Facebook messaged me saying it's pretty brutal. So pray for her, please, as she is going through her hearings today for the Supreme Court. And as we all know, the dogma lives loudly in her and in all of us, hopefully, as we share our faith with others, which should not be a negative thing, but a positive thing. And I had a little bit of my own epiphany moment this last weekend, a rosary rally that my dear friend Adora Ibrahim organized here in Commerce Township. There was one in Detroit, which we talked about last week on Epiphany. And as I was walking, I had an epiphany moment about Teaching Tuesdays. And, And Melissa and I were chatting about it, and we hope to bring this to you next week, kick it off next week, about really sharing with people about how they're teaching the faith. What are they bringing to others? And suggesting how we might do the same thing. You know, how do we teach others the faith? How do we bring others to Christ? How do we evangelize the faith? And hopefully on Tuesdays we'll be doing that at one segment a week on teaching others to teach the faith. So, a lot going on here on Epiphany and on AveMariaRadio.net. We're going to take a break, and when we come back, we'll be talking with our first guest, Mary Lou Greenwood Snyder. She's a poet, and she has a new book out. We'll be right back.
You can't imagine life without your faith, and Henry Ford Village wouldn't have it any other way. Residents can tune in to live televised services from our very own chapel every Sunday and online devotionals every day, making sure you stay connected, energized, and feeling good through faith the whole week through. Connection. That's what it means to be part of a faith-based community, always bringing each other closer to one another and closer to God. Let us show you what it's like. Schedule your virtual walkthrough at henryfordvillage.com today.
I'm Dr. Stan Williams. Contemplate the universe with me.
He gives showers of rain to all people.
Oceans provide 97% of Earth's water. Freshwater rivers wash mineral residue, toxins, and many of the 10 billion species of bacteria and viruses into the ocean. When the seawater evaporates, it leaves behind mineral salt, raising the sea's salinity. Then, two benevolent miracles occur. First, as a purifier, the ocean's salt kills off most of the bacteria and viruses. Second, as seawater evaporates, left behind are the much larger salts and disease-causing molecules, producing pure water vapor that later will condense and create a purified freshwater rainfall. And how does nature know how to do all that? We have no idea. But God does, and one day you will too. At AveMariaRadio.net, under Resources, explore the universe with me. I'm Dr. Stan Williams.
Peace does not begin with presidents and prime ministers. It begins with you and me. What is peace? Where do I find peace? How can I be peace in this troubled world? Hi, this is Peggy Stanton. Please join me on A Place of Peace as we seek the answers to these timely and timeless questions. That's this Saturday on Ave Maria Radio at 11 a.m.
Darkness sometimes comes beautiful light, especially when we're centered on Christ and putting our faith in God. And there was beautiful fruit that came out of COVID for Mary Lou Greenwood Snyder. Mary Lou, thanks for joining us here on Epiphany.
Oh, thank you so much for having me.
So you're a poet, and you have published a new book called Touched by God. So tell us about the poems that were inspired and what came out of COVID for you.
Well, I was inspired by the Lord God. One day I was feeling pretty down, and I went out and drove off in my car. And, you know, I drove into this parking lot in this truck that I pulled right in front of. You know what the license plate said? You can make it. And I was very touched by God with that, and I wrote my first poem, Prayer of a Housewife.
I love it. So you're a self-described housewife in Rochester, married to your husband, Barry, for 59 years, God bless, 60 years in May, mother of five children, parishioner of Christ the Redeemer Parish in Lake Orion. So how long have you been writing poetry?
Well, I started in the 70s, like I just mentioned, and I was just down and went out, and I came back, and I wrote the Prayer of the Housewife, and it came out in a poem, and I felt like the Lord had touched me by God. I was touched by God, and that's how the book became named, too.
And so tell us about the book. I mean, how many poems are in this book? What entails the book today?
There are 15 poems in the book. I just wrote one new one last week, but it's not in the book.
Okay.
But, yeah, there's 15 poems in the book, and they've been written over the years. I started in the 70s when I lived in Rochester. I now live in Clarkston, Michigan, and I've been writing poems since I've been living here for 17 and a half years.
And who's your intended audience? Who do you hope you'll reach with these poems?
people who really want to be touched by God and are searching for something in their life more than what's been offered to them down here.
So, you talked about writing a new poem that's not in the book. Could you read that to us?
I sure can.
Okay, read that to us.
Would you like to hear it right now?
Yes, I would. Yes.
Okay, I named the poem "Here I Am, Lord." Father, I've knelt before you, bowed my head. I drank the wine and ate the bread. I think of the holy dove, the parted sea, and the way you move in me. Now I give my life to you, hoping you will see me through, where one day I will dwell, far from the fires of hell, where the sun will always shine and we will have peace of mind. All my loved ones will be there too, giving all our love to you.
That is beautiful. I love that.
Thank you. That is
beautiful. It's not in the book, but you can get the book. It's at AveMariaRadio.net. Can you share with us a bit about your faith journey, Mary Lou? Have you always been a Catholic your whole life?
Yes, I have. My mother was Lutheran. She married my dad, who was a Catholic, mm-hmm. and she turned Catholic. And we were all, my two brothers and I, were raised Catholic. And I've always felt God in my heart. When I was a young girl, I walked to St. Veronica's Church in East Detroit and bought myself a Bible. And I used to cut out all the articles on the shroud of Jesus and stick them in my Bible.
Mm-hmm.
And lo and behold, one day my husband and my family were in Turin, Italy, and we go into the Cathedral of St. John the Baptist where the shroud is kept. And we go upstairs to this little room, and a priest is saying Mass around the shroud of Christ in Italian. And my family and I were there. And I believe that's God in talking to us.
Hmm.
It's a beautiful memory and a beautiful moment in my life.
You know, you talked about what inspired that first poem and that license plate. What inspired all your other poems that you have in the book today?
Well, I'm always talking to God, Vanessa.
Okay.
And
that's awesome.
And that's the way he talks back to me. It's my feelings, and I just start writing them down. If I don't write them down right away, they go right out the door because I'm 82. So
God bless
you.
In
the moment when I'm talking with the Lord, and he inspires me, and I write down these poems.
How has writing the poems, Mary Lou, strengthened your faith in your relationship with Christ?
Oh, my gosh. It makes me feel very close to God that he is talking through me and talking to me.
Mm-hmm. And what can you share? You know, the show is called Epiphany, and we often ask our guests their epiphany moments, that aha moment that brought you to God or closer to God. What else can you share with our listeners here on Epiphany about your own epiphany moment?
Well, like I mentioned earlier, when I lived in Rochester, I was feeling pretty down. I have five children, and I was overwhelmed with all kinds of stuff. My husband's wonderful, but he was at work all day, and I'm home with the kids. And I went off and crying in my car, like I said, God spoke to me with that license plate, "You can make it." And I went home, and I wrote Prayer of a Housewife. And I love that poem.
Yeah. So do you have...
All my feelings just came out, pouring out, and mm-hmm. God let me put them down in words into the form of a poem.
Do you have that poem handy in front of you?
I do.
Can you read that one to us here?
I sure can.
That would be great.
Prayer of a Housewife. Understanding myself wasn't easy for me. There was so much more I wanted to be. Housework seems such drudgery, it swallows up so much of me. The kids take up so much of my time. I love them dearly, but why can't they mind? Being a mother and being a wife wasn't all I wanted from life. One day you're up, the next you're down. What is it in me that wants to be found?
Hmm.
And one day as I knelt to pray, the Lord touched me in a special way. Said, "Woman, face your life with faith and hope, and you will find that you can cope. For being a mother and being a wife isn't always an easy life, but one that I have chosen for you and one that I will see you through. And because you knelt to pray, I'll bless you in a special way."
Wow, that is just beautiful. That brought tears to my eyes. I'm glad I didn't wear any eye makeup today. That's so beautiful. Thank you so much for sharing that. I love
Thank
that poem.
For-
and, you know, people listening today, maybe other people that kind of feel down and out, and especially what we're going through, Mary Lou, this year with COVID and just everything, the election year, it's stressful for a lot of us. What advice do you have for people that maybe do want to write their thoughts down and maybe a poem? What would you say to them today?
I would just say to keep in touch with the Lord. Talk to him. He does talk back to you in so many different ways. Like I mentioned with the You Can Make It and the Shroud story. And another time in Frankenmuth, I was wandering through the Christmas store and wondering what life is all about. And I bumped into the sign pole, and this sign that dangled right in front of my face said, "My gift to you is life. What you do with it is your gift to me." So God talks to us in many ways, but you have to keep your eyes open and your heart open. You will hear him.
Wow, I love that saying, "My gift to you is life, and what you do with it is your gift to me." What a powerful message.
Yes, I thought so too.
Did that inspire a poem for you? Did you write a poem out of that thing?
Well, no, not particularly right into that thing, but it did touch me because I was feeling wondering, like I said, I was wondering what life is all about anyway. You know, why are we down here? Like I mentioned earlier, too, in one of my articles, I went to church one time, and the priest started out with, "Why are you here?" And he said, "He's a mess, you're a mess, and we're all a mess." And then that inspired the poem with me going home.
Wow, that's so beautiful.
So it's just different things that people might say. And, of course, I think the most important thing is to pray to God, talk to him, and thank him every day for the goodness in your life.
Conversations with God, so important. And you're having those your own conversations through the poetry you're writing as you and God are communicating together. How beautiful, Mary Lou. What a great message to people listening here on Epiphany.
I hope so.
Yeah.
I hope so.
So the book would be a great stocking stuffer, a great Christmas gift for somebody in your family, maybe a new mom, a grandmother, your own mom, your daughter. What a great gift to give somebody, your granddaughter, Mary Lou, to share this book of poetry with people this Christmas
season.
Absolutely.
And they all have it. That was my intent in the beginning. Yeah. I gave this to my daughter, all my poems to my daughter, Carol, and I wanted her to compile them and send them out to all her brothers. She has four brothers. She's the only girl. Mm-hmm. And I wanted all my children to have copies of my poems. Mm-hmm. And it was Carol's idea to do this lovely poem book. She said, "Mom, COVID's here." Her husband and her have their own business. She said business is kind of down because of COVID. And she said she'd like to do this lovely little book on poems. And because of her, it's been happening. And I put the cross on the cover of the book that has hung in my parents' home for over 50 years. And now it's been hanging in my home since 1989. And I love it. I think it's a beautiful cover on the book. And my daughter took pictures of different things in my home, different artifacts, and paired them up with different poems in the book. And that was her idea.
Wow, that's beautiful.
Because of my daughter, the book took place.
Well, that's wonderful. We're glad to have it available at AveMariaRadio.net. Thank you so much, Mary Lou Greenwood Snyder, for joining us about your book, Touched by God. Thank you so much.
Oh, thank you, Vanessa, for having me so very much. Thank you.
My pleasure. God bless and good luck to you. AveMariaRadio.net. You can get a copy of her book. It's a great Christmas gift. Stay with us, everyone. We're going to continue our conversation right here on Epiphany. Coming back, Vicky Figueroa is going to join us. We're going to be talking about the sin of racism.
Hello, this is Father Frank Pavone with Priests for Life. Many states allow early voting. This means that even if you do not have a reason why you cannot get to the polls on Election Day, you may vote before Election Day. Priests for Life has posted the regulations and dates that apply to each state. Visit priestsforlife.org and look for political responsibility. Why is it a good idea to vote before Election Day? Because we should not put off until tomorrow what we can do today. Every vote really does count. And when we wait until the last possible day to vote, we leave ourselves open to the chance that something will stand in our way. We may become ill or have car trouble or encounter a family problem or bad weather or just forget. Don't let that happen. This year, vote early. This is Father Frank Pavone on Ave Maria Radio.
My sisters, nieces, and I are all on a group chat. We communicate almost daily through this app, and I love it. It keeps us all in the family loop. Often one of us is requesting prayer, whether it be about our health, our jobs, our children, our spouses. Well, it varies, but it's often. This asking for prayer was something I did not do when I was younger, but it's something I often do today. I've asked for prayers on social media and in text to friends and family, on the phone and in person. I've asked for prayers for myself and for others. We know that Scripture teaches us that whatever you ask in prayer, you will receive if you have faith. We're also called to pray without ceasing. My sisters, nieces, and I always report back with, "Thanks for the prayers," and "This is what happened." Of course, pray for yourself to our Heavenly Father, but don't hesitate to ask others to do the same. This has been a Christ-centered communication message. I'm Vanessa Denha-Garmo, a communications evangelist. Talking about the sin of racism. There's a discussion tonight between Archbishop Alan Vigneron and Dr. Ike McKinnon, being moderated by your own Teresa Tomeo at 7 o'clock tonight. And talk with us about that is Vicki Figueroa, Cultural Ministries Manager and Coordinator, Black Catholic Ministry, Evangelization and Missionary Discipleship with the Archdiocese of Detroit. Vicki, thanks for coming on again here on Epiphany.
Well, thank you, and thank you for getting all that title in. It's a crazy title. Isn't it?
it's a mouthful, but it's all good. You do wonderful work, and we really appreciate everything you're doing in the name of God for our church and our diocese here in Detroit. So, Vicki, tell us, Dr. Ike McKinnon, former police chief of Detroit, was on with Teresa Tomeo this morning, which was a great interview. What can you share with us about what's going on today and why this is such an important discussion?
Well, it's a very important discussion because racism is a sin that's tearing our nation apart, it's tearing our city apart. And when, the racism that came to a head pretty much after the George Floyd incident occurred, Archbishop Vigneron was talking about some different ways to create a culture of anti-racism in the city of Detroit in Southeast Michigan. So we talked about it, we discussed it more and more and more, and then we came up with the idea, well, why don't leaders, community leaders, faith leaders, even a media leader like Teresa, get together and talk about what racism means on their level and how they can change within their hearts to be true anti-racist people and then lead other people away from the sin of racism. Mm-hmm. So it's very important because it's our leaders discussing racism on a higher level that affects a large number of people and can really break down a lot of personal barriers as well as a lot of structural barriers and create a more just nation.
Mm-hmm. Vicki, and Dr. Ike McKinnon is a fabulous choice to have that conversation with Archbishop Vigneron. I've known him for years. I've interviewed him many times when he was the Detroit police chief. Just a great guy, just a fabulous man. And a man of faith, really, a good Christian man. And I know he's going to share some personal stories about his own experiences in the police department and what he faced in terms of racism.
Yes. He's going to share that personal history.
Mm-hmm. Which is so important.
About.
Because...
And another thing, too, that
Go ahead.
I'm sorry. I was just going to say that not only is he going to share that personal experiences of working in the police department, but, he was also deputy mayor. So he had to go into a lot of different meetings where, well-received was he? How well-received was his information? And how much work was he able to do to make Detroit a more just city? So
That's a really good point. I forgot he was the deputy mayor. That's so true. I wasn't a reporter anymore at that time when he became the deputy mayor. I always have it in my head as the police chief. But you're so right, Vicki, the conversations that you see. And a lot of, you know, racism comes from ignorance. It's not really knowing anybody personally. You just have these beliefs in your head about you know, the Black community, the Hispanic community, the Chaldean community, the Arab community, that are just not true. And you don't know any of these people personally. You know, what we see.
And that's very interesting that you bring that up when, when Ike and I were talking about this particular segment, I said, you know, what is the one thing that any of us can do today to affect change, to become a more anti-racist person? He said, sit down and have a conversation with someone who's different than you. He said, and we all need to do it. He said, a Black person needs to sit down and have a conversation with someone of the Asian, you know, of Asian descent, of Hispanic descent. Find out about their story. You know, even find out about your own brother or sister on a different side of the track. He said, and once you learn the path that other people have had to walk, it's very difficult to hate them, because then you begin to see them as a brother and sister in the Lord, and you begin to see some similarities between their path and your own.
Yeah. It's so true, Vicki. What a great question to ask Dr. Ike McKenna about what can we do individually. I remember, and I'm going to tell you a little story, and I don't say this in any disrespect, I'm going to tell you, but this is a perfect example. I had a really good friend of mine, Lloyd Jackson. We were reporters together. Great guy, Black guy. I'm Chaldean. And my father died. Okay, so my father passes away, and, you know, Lloyd comes to my dad's funeral, and a lot of my coworkers did. And, you know, in the Chaldean community, something's, you know, there can get things out of hand. People go a little crazy at our funerals, and I was like, oh my gosh, people are not going to understand my culture. They chant, they cry, sometimes they pound on the casket. It gets a little much, okay? So I went up to Lloyd and I said, Lloyd, you know, sorry, you know, Chaldeans get a little crazy sometimes at funerals. So he goes, girl, have you been to a Black funeral? And I was like, and we kind of chuckled. And he goes, you got to come to one of our funerals, girl, and you'll see what goes on. And we kind of just like had that little moment of laughter. Like, we connected for a moment about our cultures, you know, and how we do things, and, you know, how we handle death, how we celebrate life, how we celebrate holidays. And we just kind of laughed for a moment. And it was like, I needed that brevity at my dad's funeral. And it was like that connection that you can have, you know. And that only happens, Vicki, when you take the time to become friends with somebody. And I consider Lloyd a great friend still today.
Right.
You know?
Yes, that is awesome. And then you allow yourself to be a bit vulnerable, too.
Exactly. You know? Exactly.
And you allow yourself that freedom to say, you know what, I might make a mistake here, but I feel something on my heart that needs to come out. And I need to say this to this person because I'm really feeling like there's some similarities between my culture and his culture. And he was probably feeling the same way about you. And truthfully, I mean, we all grieve in very different ways. But it's interesting that he's found some similarities there in how you grieve and, you know, send a person home. So I love that.
Yeah, yeah. And it was those moments that you really bond with somebody, and you can you laugh through tears, which is my, you know, favorite way of laughing sometimes. We need to laugh sometimes through tears. And, you know, Vicki, what do you think is the biggest, you know, from the Black community, what is the biggest misconception that people just don't want to see because they have these blinders on? Because it happens to me in the Chaldean community. What do you want people to understand about the Black community that is just so misunderstood?
I think that what people don't understand is that racism, chattel racism, the way it was formed in order to sustain slavery, chattel slavery here in America, and that's it's a very different slavery than existed overseas, than exists in the Bible. It's very, very different. But chattel slavery basically is something that has just kept evolving over the past 400 years, which is why it's very difficult for us to let racism go. I mean, when legal slavery ended back in 1865, and then we had laws where it was illegal for Black people to be without jobs, even though they were set free without jobs. And then that rule changed into, you know, lynching, and then it changed into Jim Crow. So like every 40 to 50 years, a new form of racism kind of popped up. You know, we would kill Jim Crow laws, But then some segregation things came about. Mm. And one of the reasons why it's so difficult for us to shake the feelings of racism and some of that anger is just because we've kind of kicked the can down the road all these centuries. So now it's time to really put some things into place so that we can create an anti-racist society, so that maybe we can shed some of that anger and, you know, mm-hmm. move towards a more just brotherhood.
Yeah. So share with our listeners here on Epiphany what's going to happen tonight. How can we participate with this discussion?
All right. Good. Well, what's going to happen tonight is that Teresa Tamio is going to interview, Dr. Ike McKinnon and Archbishop Vigneron. And Archbishop Vigneron has a very special interest in this right now because he said he feels that we're at a different point right now in America and that we really are ready to begin that long, tough fight of fighting racism. And he wants to know, as a faith leader of Catholics, how he can help facilitate moving us in the right direction. So Teresa is going to ask Ike and Archbishop Vigneron questions about what is racism, what does the Catholic Church teach, what are some of their personal experiences, and what are they willing as a community leader and as a faith leader pledge to do to become more anti-racist themselves, as well as to create an environment for us to have discussions about racism in order to kind of weed it out of our churches, weed it out of our communities, and weed it out of our nations. Mm-hmm. So it's going to be kind of like a table talk conversation, mm-hmm. which is great. It's not going to be so much a formal interview like you see on 60 Minutes or anything like that, but it's going to be people having frank discussion about what's going on. To join on, go to the Archdiocese of Detroit Facebook page and log on to the live event stream, and then you'll be able to pick it up that way at 7 p.m. tonight.
And how long is it going to be, like an hour? Do we have a timetable of how long it's going to be?
Yes, approximately an hour. It's going to be from 7 to 8 p.m.,
okay.
which is, you know, a perfect timetable. And what you can do, too, is that if you go to the AOD website, AOD.org website, mm-hmm. you should be able to click onto the live stream, and there should be another link where you can click on where you can send in questions.
Oh.
So one of the questions that I sent in, I had a chance to send it a question.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if they'll get to it tonight. I'm sure they're going to have many questions they ask.
Mm-hmm.
It's how do we teach racism education in our schools?
Oh, great
because
question.
Because if ever there was a place to stop racism, it's with our kids. And then how do we educate parents to teach their kids to be, you know, anti-racist kids? And then how do we share with our teachers when, you know, a child does happen to say something racist? Maybe they're not a racist person, but they happen to repeat what they are hearing at home.
Yeah. Well, that's
a very good point. How do we handle those occasions and teaching mm-hmm. moments, yeah.
Vicki, that's a great point because it all starts at home. You know, people are not born racist. It's learned. It's
yeah.
a learned behavior. So what great questions. I hope they get to them. Thank you so much. What else do you want to share with our listeners before we let you go?
Just make sure that you tune in tonight at 7 p.m. And one of the things you might want to do is just, you know, for about 15 minutes prior to the program, there have been a lot of pretty good YouTube videos.
Mm.
You know, maybe Google a YouTube video that's 5 or 10 minutes talking a little bit about racism. So you have some of those vocabulary down, such as implicit bias, explicit bias, you know, racism, human dignity, so that mm-hmm. you can go into this particular webinar informed and mm-hmm. really get a lot out of it. Just, like, do a little bit of homework prior mm-hmm. if you have the time.
That's a great idea. Vicki, thank you so much again. It's tonight, 7 p.m., a discussion between Archbishop Alan Vigneron and Dr. Ike McKinnon, moderated by our own Teresa Tamio. 7 o'clock, you can go to Facebook on the AOD Facebook page, or you can go to the AOD Archdiocese of Detroit website and get the link there. Vicki, thank you so much for joining us here on Epiphany.
Thank you for having me. I so appreciate it.
Yeah, my pleasure. Stay with us, everyone. We're going to continue our conversation. We're going to talk about spiritual direction when we come back.
Marriage Detroit on Facebook. Rediscover your love.
It's time for Family Man with Dr. Gregory Popchak.
When their teens are struggling with depression, parents often wonder whether medication or therapy is the best way to help their kids heal. A new study published in the medical journal The Lancet shed some light on this question. In a randomized, placebo-controlled, double-blind study, the so-called gold standard in medical research, doctors found that psychotherapy alone helped depressed teens and young adults just as much as those receiving counseling and medication combined. The authors of the study suggest that psychotherapy, especially cognitive behavior therapy, which addresses unhealthy thinking patterns, should be the first line of treatment for teens and young adults, with antidepressants being used only as a support to therapy when necessary. The good news is that teen depression responds tremendously well to treatment, but it's important to make sure that your kids get the right kind of help. I'm Dr. Greg Popchak, but you can call me Family Man.
To discover more ways faith can enrich your life, visit CatholicCounselors.com.
If you believe in the power of prayer, Ave Maria Radio invites you to look at their website to submit a prayer request at AveMariaRadio.net. Your prayer requests are shared with hundreds at the Dominican Sisters of Mary, Mother of the Eucharist, the Servants of God's Love, the Monastery of the Blessed Sacrament Cloistered Nuns, the Family of Faith Apostolate, and the staff of Ave Maria Radio. Just go to AveMariaRadio.net and click on the Community tab to submit your prayer request today.
Epiphany. We're talking about spiritual direction, which I think is so important. I've had a spiritual director for many years now, and we talk regularly. Sometimes not in spiritual direction, we just chat. So it's wonderful. But to talk with us about spiritual direction is Jeanette Barbicane and Tisa Fleming. Thank you both for joining us here on Epiphany.
Pleasure.
So, Jeanette, my pleasure. And Jeanette, I know you have degrees in religious studies and nursing and counseling. And Tisa, you're an attorney. So it's great backgrounds you both have. So let me first start out asking, and I don't know who wants to answer this question first, but what is spiritual direction? I don't know which one of you want to take that on, but what is spiritual direction?
Spiritual direction is, I think one of the saints referred to it as the art of arts. It's the discipline of accompanying someone spiritually with a focus on their relationship with God, which is exemplified or expressed through prayer and developed in their prayer life.
And then, so Tisa,
so it's
maybe you could...
like the art of accompaniment.
An art and accompaniment. And so, Tisa, who is it for? Like, who would benefit from spiritual direction?
Actually, you know, I've heard Dan Burke respond to that question, and his response is always, take a hold of your wrist. Do you have a pulse? You need a spiritual director. And I'd say he's not far off, but that doesn't mean that everybody's ready for one.
Yeah.
Even though they might benefit by one. If you're serious about your prayer life and you're praying regularly, then you'd probably benefit by a spiritual director. If mm-hmm. you're wanting to pray regularly but not able to find a way to get that discipline consistently in your life, then you'd probably benefit by a spiritual director. Mm-hmm. If you're in a place where you're confused and don't know why things are going the way they are in your relationship with God, or you're kind of lost and wondering where he went, you'd benefit by a spiritual director. So really, anybody who takes their spiritual life seriously would benefit by a spiritual director.
Yeah, and I do want to add, anybody, if you're in any type of teaching position about the faith at any level, if you're preaching or teaching at any level, I highly recommend you get a spiritual director. If you're out there teaching and preaching the faith, to help guide you. And ask the Holy Spirit to come to you as you're delivering, evangelizing to other people. Jeanette and Tisa, I stumbled on spiritual direction. It was many years ago when I was working in the county, Wayne County Executive's Office. I was a press secretary. There was stuff going on that I was really stressed out about, and I didn't know what to do about. And at St. Aloysius was Father Alex Kratz, who I'd known for a while. And I'd walk over there because it was in walking distance, and I would go and cry and pray and ask for help. And it kind of just, he became my spiritual director by default, I think. And I have a great friendship with him, and he's really helped me over the years. That was many years ago. And I can't tell you how greatly I have benefited, and I feel even more important to have spiritual direction in the work that I do, working in the media, having my own publication for many years, now here on Ave Maria Radio. It's so important for every person, especially when you're in a position where you are sharing the faith. Would you both agree to that?
Absolutely. You know, and you were fortunate enough to find someone who understood the spiritual journey and could walk with you. Mm-hmm. And look, a testimony like yours is such great advertisement for spiritual direction. The mm-hmm. other thing that happens that people benefit is that sometimes they don't know the influence or what spirit is influencing them when they go to make choices or decisions. And it's mm-hmm. important for someone to be versed in spiritual discernment and discernment of spirits that St. Ignatius brought to the front for us, and be able to help people ferret out which voice is trying to influence us. Is it the voice of God or the voice of our enemy? Mm. So I really applaud the priest that helped you, and I'm so glad to hear that you benefited from his efforts.
Yeah, what a great point to make, because we don't always know what spirit is guiding us, and we do get confused, and that's why I believe discernment is so important, and you learn discernment. I've learned discernment through spiritual direction and the importance of discerning the voice of God.
Absolutely, and we have some great resources out there. Father Gallagher has written a book, one of several, on discernment of spirits, which is excellent. It's like the golden standard. And Dan Burke just recently came out with a book on discernment of spirits as well, Spiritual Warfare and the Discernment of Spirits. And that's real practical. He makes those principles, Dan does, real practical, as does Father Gallagher. So mm-hmm. we're very fortunate at this time to have those resources available to us.
I'm going to ask you both.
I recommend them to anyone who's interested. I mean, they're accessible to the lay public, to the lay mm-hmm. mind, the untrained mind in a sense.
Right. You don't need a degree in theology to understand them.
That's great. That's wonderful. And so the resources that are available are wonderful. And hopefully we'll be able to put that on the AveMariaRadio.net website if we haven't had them already there. And I want to ask you both this, Tisa and Jeanette. We'll start with Tisa. Is how did you become a spiritual director? How did you end up becoming a spiritual director as an attorney?
Well, I didn't do it because I was an attorney. I did it because I was involved in women's ministry in the parish, and the mm-hmm. need became so clear that we were all looking at each other and saying, we've got to find more people to become spiritual directors. So we started looking into different programs, and I said, well, what about this one? And someone said, well, why don't you go? So I said, well, all right, if there's no one else to go, I'll go. So I went, and mm-hmm. I actually ended up not finishing that program, finding a different program that Jeanette and I went to together, and that's how we got to know each other and started working together, and had to bring it back up here. We just had to bring spiritual direction training here because there aren't enough.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And how about you, Jeanette? How did you end up going into spiritual direction?
Women particularly began to approach me and seek out spiritual direction, or spiritual counseling, as some people think. But I felt the responsibility was so grave that I needed training. So I approached someone that I knew that had been trained and began myself to do a search and heard about the program that Tisa was looking at, and that's how I came to be trained in it. And it was so helpful because there are definitely principles and things that you avoid and things that you go towards. You come to recognize the movement of the Holy Spirit in someone's life, and it's so important to be trained in it.
Well, how do you become a spiritual director? How does that work?
Well, going to a program for training, and there are several cropping up throughout the United States. The ones that I think Dan Burke recommends are, there's Clearwater, Florida, there's one in Kansas, Lanteri out in Colorado, and we have Heart of Christ Spiritual Direction Training Program right here in Ann Arbor. So you want to go on the websites and look at the curriculum that each program offers and the timing. A lot of times you have to travel to the place to get trained. Most of what we do is online, so it's very convenient for people. And that was pre the virus. We had already begun to go online for people and see what touches your heart, what draws you. But it's also important to talk to your spouse if you're married, get input from a spiritual director or people that you respect in the spiritual realm to see, get their input on the program that you're thinking about attending, and also people who know you and know your givenness and your talents.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And so people listening here on Epiphany, how do they find a spiritual director? How do they go about doing that? I mean, I stumbled on mine, and I thank God I have Father Alex Kratz. He's been a blessing to me. But how do other people find a spiritual director?
Well, I'd say that the most common thing people do is approach their parish and check at the parish office. They'll approach their diocese, and sometimes the diocese will have a list of directors. Sometimes they will go to a retreat center near them and find a spiritual director there if there's a retreat center near them that they respect. We sometimes have people contact us, and we do our best to put them in touch with somebody.
Mm-hmm.
Convents, you can ask sisters.
You can ask at convents. Yes, some convents, some sisters will provide it. So there's a variety of ways. A lot of times people find them by word of mouth. They talk to their friends and say, what do you do? Where did you find yours? And when we get requests at our school, we do our best to connect people. But since we're getting people from all over the country, that tends to mostly be virtual. So they're usually by Zoom or phone or some mm-hmm. such means.
So if somebody is interested in becoming a spiritual director, what should they do? Tell us a little bit more. What are the first steps and what should they be doing?
Well, they can look at our website, which is heartofchristspiritualdirection.com, which has a pretty full explanation of the process there. But the short version is that the first year of our program, we're coupled with Avila Institute, which is run by Dan Burke. Mm-hmm. And the first year of the program, you take four classes with Avila, which are all online, and you go through the spiritual exercises of St. Ignatius yourself, either the 30-day version or the 19th annotated, which is the one that's spread out over 30 to 36 weeks. And you do that with your own spiritual director or with another spiritual director who's trained in giving the exercises. Mm. And after you've taken at least two of those classes, you're free to apply to our part of the program, which then would require coming here to Ann Arbor for 1 week in June. And then from September through May, the classes are all online, and then you come back here again for 1 week in June.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the big picture of our program.
So you kind of answered my question, but how important is it for a spiritual director to have a spiritual director?
It's important. It's very important.
Yes. It keeps you accountable. So many times I've heard people say, I'm so glad I've kept this appointment. I'm so glad that I'm accountable. It keeps me in tow.
Mm-hmm.
So it helps people, you know, kind of review their spiritual life, review where they're going. And also the Lord works deeply mm-hmm. in those sessions oftentimes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, there's so many profound things that came out of my own sessions. And one of the things that when I was trying to get out of the county because of stuff that was going on, and there ended up being an FBI investigation that was national and actually international news, to believe it. It was actually headlined in China. I remember Father Alex Kratz said to me, you know, Vanessa, God's timing is not your timing. And that till today, I remember that, you know. It's like, oh, okay, I didn't realize we had two different timetables. But so it was patience I had to learn. You know, God's timing is not my timing. And so many wonderful, fruitful things have come out of spiritual direction for me, as I know it would for other people. And I'm sure you too, ladies, have had your own kind of epiphany moments in those spiritual directions that maybe you could share with us, Jeanette and Tisa, each a moment, an epiphany moment that came out of spiritual direction for you.
Well, I can remember one time when I was struggling with a lot of different things. It seemed like I was like there's things weren't working here, they weren't working there, they weren't working there, they weren't working there, all these different areas of my life. And I went to my spiritual direction session and just kind of poured it all out to my spiritual director, and she kind of said, well, looks like God's got you right where he wants you. Mm-hmm. Nothing else is satisfying. You have to turn to him.
Mm-hmm.
And that has stayed with me all these years and has been a helpful reminder over and over again as God continues to do those kinds of things in me.
Mm-hmm.
St. Ignatius says, God is always working, and he's working for our benefit. And everything that's occurring in our life, when we've listened to him and we're seeking him and we're doing our best to follow him, he is working all those details out for our benefit. And a spiritual director helps shed light on those circumstances where by ourselves we might really kind of misinterpret, as you pointed out, that it was your director that said, your timing is not God's timing. Just wait on him. And then there's that Rule 5 that Father Gallagher of St. Ignatius Discernment of Spirits emphasizes so much. The fifth rule of 14 that there is says, in a time of desolation, never change a decision that you made in consolation. And I think that if people just knew that one rule, how different their lives would turn out. Because we're in desolation, we're oftentimes being driven by the desolation to leave where we are. But St. Ignatius says, look back at the time when you made that decision. If it was made in a time of consolation, you can't change it in desolation because desolation comes from the enemy. And he's not really a very good counselor.
That's a profound message. So important. For people listening, Jeanette and Tisa, they want spiritual direction. What is the process in terms of, like, how often does someone meet with a spiritual director? Is it once a month? Is it for an hour? Can you kind of walk our listeners through that a little bit here?
Well, the most common pattern is once a month for an hour. That's exactly right. We find that if sessions go longer than that on a regular basis, usually not much work is being done after that hour. That's usually about the right amount of time. And once a month normally. Now, there are times in your life when you might need to make it more often, and there certainly are times when once a month just isn't going to work and you have to stretch it out. But as a rule, once a month for an hour is the norm.
Mm-hmm. And Tisa, do you bring to spiritual spiritual directors? I mean, I know the process, but for people listening, what do you bring to them? How do you start the conversation?
Well, that's going to vary a lot by person to person. But the first thing that popped into my mind when you said that was something that Father Hicks, who's a teaches spiritual direction in Pennsylvania. He's a wonderful Benedictine who's written a good book on it as well. He says, sometimes what I tell people is, I start with, why don't you start with the thing you least want to say? Because a lot of times we have to work our way up to having the courage to say what it is we really need to bring. Mm-hmm. And he's saying, bring that first. Get that out of the way. But really, the things that you bring are wherever you're feeling the movement of God in your life or struggling. So you might bring, you know, I've been trying to pray this week, and every time I read a certain passage, it's troubling me, and I don't know why. And you might want to explore that, or you might have some pattern in your life where this is happening, and I don't know why, or this is what I'm trying to do, and I keep getting blocked. What's keeping me from doing it? And a lot of times we take that back to our prayer, and we say, what is God doing here? What is he trying to show me?
Mm-hmm.
And a little bit of reflection can often bring a lot of light there, as you expressed in your experience there.
Yeah, I highly recommend it. To anybody who wants spiritual direction, to seek it out. And if you feel called by God to become a spiritual director, reach out to both Jeanette and Tisa and find out more. What else can you leave our listeners before we let you go and give out that website again?
Spiritual Direction,
Heart of Christ.
Heart of Christ, spiritualdirection.com is our website. And
okay.
It tells you all about the program that we offer.
Great. Anything else you want to leave our listeners?
What we leave them with is to take your spiritual life seriously. And if you're just starting to look at these things and think about these things and want to get started, Dan Burke's book, Into the Deep, is a great place to get started because because it walks you through developing a prayer life and how to relate to God in prayer. And it starts from the very beginnings. If you've got no prayer life at all, how to get started. And I read that, he just wrote that book a couple of years ago, and I've been doing this for a long time, and I still found it very helpful. So whether you're a beginner or looking to revive something that needs reviving, that's a great place to start.
Another resource would be discerninghearts.com, which has lots and lots of people presenting on there, and they have podcasts. Father Gallagher's on there. Dr. Lillis is on there. And several others. It's such a rich resource.
Great. Jeanette and Tisa, thank you so much for joining us here on Epiphany.
Thank you so much. A pleasure. And I wish you well on your new adventure.
Oh, thank you so much. Thanks for being part of it. We appreciate it. We'll bring you back on again. Thanks, ladies, and you're listening to Epiphany. I'm Vanessa Denha-Garmo, and as always, if you want to find out more information, get the resources, the podcasts of these interviews, go to AveMariaRadio.net, AveMariaRadio.net, and share the app with your family members. I just downloaded the AveMariaRadio.net app, the app actually on my mom's phone, so she can listen to me every day on her phone, which is easier for her. So we have a wealth of resources, and again, you can have a conversation with me after the show, after we turn off the mics, at Communications Evangelist Coach Vanessa Denha-Garmo on Facebook is the best way to communicate with me. That is my public page. You can like it, share it with others. I will share the resources that we share here on the show on that page. You can ask questions on that page and join me in a conversation, even when we're off the air, about what goes on here on Epiphany and AveMariaRadio.net. It's a great resource. And, of course, we encourage all of you to continue praying with us as we head into the elections in November, and, of course, the hearings with Amy Coney Barrett. Please pray for her as she's in these hearings that started today. Maybe do a rosary for her. Go to our app on Ave Maria Radio, and there's a rosary that I do every day that is recorded by Father John Ricardo. And as always, we remind our listeners here on Epiphany to connect, to communicate, and to collaborate with your Catholic community. Thanks for listening, everyone. We'll see you tomorrow.